Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
In association with Viatel Technology Group, IT leaders breathe easy with Viatel Managed Cybersecurity. Viatel.com.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we're going to look at some new EVs, bust some myths, and as ever, answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But I'm going to start this week with an update. I am doing the VHI Women's Mini Marathon on Sunday of this weekend. And I am utterly petrified. Myself and Kathleen McNamee, who you heard from on this show a few weeks ago, are running in aid of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. They do incredible work. We are trying to get as much money as possible for them to support the work that they continue to do. So if you have any money to spare at all, please consider donating it to this cause. You can donate right now on idonate.ie/newstalkofftheball. I know I've been posting about it quite a bit on social media, and it's purely because we are so eager to get as much funds as possible for this brilliant cause. I would be so grateful, even if you can't donate, if you could share the link on your own social channels, get the word out there. We will be running, it starts at 12:30 on Sunday. So I'm utterly petrified. I don't know how else to say it. I'm incredibly nervous, but we are going to do it. 25,000 women are going to take part, all raising funds for different charities. But as I said, myself and Kathleen are running for Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. If you have a euro to spare, please consider giving it to idonate.ie/newstalkofftheball. And yeah, no doubt I'll be posting updates throughout the 10 kilometres over on Instagram at JessKellyNT. That is my plea of the week. Please and thank you. And also a huge thank you to everybody who has been so generous with their donations this far. We are incredibly grateful. But let's get into this week's show. Derek Riley of Nevo.ie is with me once again. Derek, how are you?
Very good. Yeah, long weekend. Can't complain.
Exactly. And I am anticipating a lot of people will be spending a fair bit of time in their car. Do you know what I was listening back to the other day was the myth-busting session you did around EVs a few months ago. And if you haven't listened to it, and if you are EV curious, go to the News Talk app and search out this. It's literally called Myth-Busting Around EVs. And I think you did such a comprehensive job of addressing some of the questions and concerns that people might have when it comes to making the move to an electric vehicle. But it's been on my mind because I do think a lot of people will be spending a fair bit of time in their cars over the weekend. And this is the type of weekend where, you know, the route planning and the dotting out where you're going to charge, where you're going to get your coffee and stretch your legs and all the rest, This is the time where that little bit of legwork will be beneficial. But again, it just shows that it can be done with an electric vehicle.
Yeah, there will be some choke points this weekend for sure with people in their EVs traveling around the country. But like you say, planning in advance, knowing where you're going to stop, maybe having a redundancy if that charger is already full or that charging hub is already full, leaving with 100%. Lots of things like that will help you on your longer journeys. But sit back, relax. The weather is going to be great. Get an ice cream. It's going to be all good.
It's going to be all good. Sure, it always is. But of course, the news in the world of EVs never stays still. So you, I know from looking at your Instagram and on Nevo as well, there's a whole host of new vehicles out and about, which we'll come to in just a quick second. But where do you want to start this week?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Jess, I probably should put you into a separate group where you're not seeing my Instagram posts, because heading off to Vienna or Madrid or Barcelona, sometimes it doesn't help your mental well-being. But probably start with Mini Electric. We chatted about it when it launched at IAA in Munich last October, and I got to drive it a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, great to have it. Fourth generation, an icon, one of Jess's favourites. Mm-hmm. It's actually gotten a small bit shorter, which is interesting. So rather than every carb getting bigger and bigger and more bloated, Mini have kept to their original, and it's perfect size, It is internally just the steering wheel, the large circular OLED display, and a couple of toggle switches. It's harking back to the original Mini of days gone past, but like a little go-kart, as always. And there's even go-kart mode in it. And I know, Jess, we haven't done a EV drive in a while, but when I do get it to drive here on Irish roads, we'll take it for a spin. And you can hear the different noises. And it's a real immersive experience. And it sounds sometimes a bit cheesy, but yeah, great crack. Really good little car, 400 kilometer range, great fit and finish, beautiful colors. Yeah, a lot to be said for it.
Yeah, I messaged you when I saw you were driving it, saying that it is, if I ever learn to drive, a Mini would be on my list of what I would love to have. You mentioned there it's a bit shorter, so you're a tall man. Did you feel the pinch of that? Like, does it make the driving space that you have that bit more confined? And would you say it's bordering on uncomfortable?
Not at all. No, perfect for me. I'm 6 foot two, 188 centimetres, so it's perfect for me now. Anybody sitting behind me, it's a Mini by name, Mini by nature. So the rear seats are going to be on the smaller sides for sure. So it's definitely for children, shorter people, etc., etc. The boot is a bit on the smaller side. But again, you're buying this for ease of parking, scooting around the town. You haven't got a lot of people to move around or luggage to go to the airport. You're not going to set this up as a taxi, but no problem. Driving position, lovely, very comfortable seats. The interior fit and finish, as I said, and the tactility of some of the fabrics that they're using. And we're starting to see that a lot with electric vehicles and just vehicles in general. They're thinking about, okay, where are we getting this material from? Is it coming from a circular economy platform? Can it be recycled? Is it sustainable? All of that kind of stuff is really starting to think about it. So, yeah, good.
Okay. I cannot wait. When this comes to Ireland, I definitely want to go for a spin in that one. What else have you been driving?
The new Tesla Model 3 has been out a while, but the interesting thing about the Model 3 is it doesn't have stalks behind the steering wheel. And so there are buttons on the steering wheel, but when you turn the steering wheel, the buttons go to the other side. And that's fine in the land of America because there's no corners, everything's straight, blocks and geometric and all the rest of it. But in other countries, you have things called roundabouts and curves and turners. And so when I saw it at Christmas in the Tesla showroom in Sandyford here in Dublin, I said, what would you like me to do when I get to drive it? And my audience said, let's try some roundabouts around Dublin. And there is a famous one in Stillorgan that everybody talks about that it looks a bit mad. And so I did a video on, okay, what's it like to drive this around the roundabouts of Ireland? I did 5 or 6 roundabouts. I did a 3-point turn. And you know what, Jess? Everything worked out fine. It was a change for sure, but you just get used to it. And that user interface, and Elon has noted in the past as saying, listen, any input is a problem because it can be put in wrong. The human is the issue. So let's try and standardize it. Let's try and make it. The car knows if you're parked against a wall that you have to drive away from the wall. So it automatically go into forward rather than reverse. So there's an element of the car knows what way you're going to drive, which makes sense. You're not going to drive into the wall. But the indicator thing, some people were concerned about it. I put out a video, no problem at all. And I see a lot of them around. So they're becoming a popular car, that new Tesla Model 3.
Can we just talk about the safety aspect of this for a second, though? Because you said like it works fine, you get used to it and all the rest. Is there a concern? Like, will people need to just spend time, maybe drive around an empty industrial estate or something like that to get familiar with it before taking it on the roads?
No, not at all. What it is you just, I think it becomes more of a conscious decision, because when you're driving for so long, and I'm driving 25 years now, it's very much automatic. And when you do get into the Tesla, you're kind of flip moving your hand as if there was a stalk there, because it's an automatic gesture for you.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to think about it more. Is there a safety concern? Not at all. It has been tried and tested. And I said, you see it around the place. And after a couple of minutes, you do get used to it. And I jumped into another car afterwards and I was looking for the buttons on the steering wheel, not the stalk on the indicator. And so, yeah, there's no safety. Now, overall, Euro NCAP, the crash test people in Europe, are looking at, is there too much stuff going into screens? Do we need physical buttons for the likes of air conditioning, et cetera, et cetera? And so they may start changing their rating system to say, everything can't be on the screen. We're going to need an element of physical buttons so that when somebody's driving down the road, they don't need to look at a screen. They can reach over and twist a knob for the radio, or touch a button to defrost the windscreen or whatever it may be, or defog the windscreen or whatever that may be, rather than relying on a screen and being distracted. So there are rumors about Euro NCAP make taking us back from the screen and putting more buttons and knobs into the actual cars, but hasn't been confirmed yet.
Okay, well, that's definitely something that we'll watch with interest and see what comes of it. I want to talk to you a little bit about Hyundai. They are constantly... I've seen more of them on the roads, and I have to say I love the look of some of their cars. What have you been in one of those recently?
I have. I was in the Ioniq 5N, and I didn't stop smiling for about 26 hours. Aww. It is their performance version of their best-selling World Car of the Year, Ioniq 5, phenomenal car, and they got the N division, which is their racing division, to say, right, lads and ladies, if we're going to put this around a track, what would you do to change it? And they have worked their magic on it. Now, Jess, it's €80,000, so it is very much on the more expensive side, but is it worth it? God, it'd be very close to saying yes, because there's noises, very much like we talked about with the Mini, but this thing is so immersive, so much so that there's an artificial gearbox in it. So even though all electric cars are single motor, usually one gear, this thing has artificial gear changes. So as you're driving along, it's shifting up or shifting down. You can control it. It pops, it burps, it farts. It does all the things that a little boy racer or girl racer car does. It was amazing. And it's not just the artificial noise and the artificial gearbox. It's actually set up to be a real racing car. It can go twice around the Nürburgring in Germany without failing. The brakes don't fail. The suspension is amazing. If you get an opportunity to drive this car, if you're listening to this and you're going, a car that makes noises and has a fake gearbox, try this out. It is class.
Sound like a child. It's
if I got this for Christmas, I would be very happy. So Santa Claus, if you're listening, I've been a very good boy so far this year, but it is only June. But yeah, Ioniq 5N, it's doing a bit of a roadshow around Ireland at the moment to the dealerships. So if it's in your neighborhood, definitely get along to it. It's every journalist that has driven it has said the same thing. It is universally loved.
And as I said, they are just a great looking car as well, which does, I know it's superficial, but it does make a difference. I know there's a whole host of other cars that you've driven. We might come back to them in a sec, but you've bought the cheapest used EV in the UK and Ireland.
Yeah, £1,500. It is interesting. It is a little Peugeot Ion. It's red, it's tall, it's a four-seater. It looks like Postman's Pat's van with windows in the back. We call it the ladybug here in the house, and it's great. You know, it's got 160,000 kilometers on it. It does need a bit of TLC on the outside, but I'm loving it. It has a small range of about 60 or 70 kilometers, so it is literally for potting around, going to the shops and around the locale. But for €1,500, it's got air conditioning, it's got climate control, it's got so much stuff in it. And I got it checked recently with Best Drive, because they did an EV service on it, and perfect. It doesn't have any rot or wear underneath. It's been really looked after. They checked the service history. It's 11 years old. And so I'm going to be doing a whole YouTube series on it to say, do you know what? You don't always have to buy new. You can buy something used and get something that's for your purpose. And I don't need big range for myself and herself partnering around here in Dunleary. And yeah, it puts a smile on everybody's face. Which is kind of a theme so far this episode, Jess. There's been a lot of smiling in it, but loving it. And as I said, there'll be a whole series of me respraying it and checking. I might upgrade the battery in it to give it a bit more range. So there's all that kind of stuff that's coming down the line.
It makes me happy to hear that it's 11 years old, because one of the myths in that myth busting podcast I referred back to was that people had questions around the shelf life of these cars and the resellability. And there's been a whole host of talk in the press in the last wee while about certain dealers not reselling EVs and so on. Like, have we fully put that notion to bed now that you know, this is a one-stop shop car and then it ends up in the scrap heap?
Yeah, and you know what? We did some research this week. I was on with Pat on Tuesday morning about some of the stats that we're after pulling off the system, because here at Nevo, we've access to see what's on the marketplace and what's happening. So our finance partner is Bank of Ireland, and they'll be the biggest underwriter in Ireland. And I rang them up and I said, guys and girls, when somebody goes into a PCP or a HP deal after 3 years and they're driving an electric vehicle after 3 years, what's happening to that person? Are they going back into petrol or diesel? Ooh. Are they staying in an electric vehicle? And 9 out of 10 people stay electric. So first of all, people like it. People get used to it. If it was as bad as what sometimes you see on social media with the misinformation and the disinformation, people would be running out of EVs in their droves, but they're not. 9 out of 10. Now, there's still that 1 out of 10 that didn't work out for them. The circumstances may have changed. But I think 9 out of 10, first of all, is a huge tick from everybody to say, this is a nice way of driving and this is why we like it and we're going to stay in it. Your point about dealers saying, oh, these EVs aren't selling or they're not moving or used EVs aren't selling, we dove into the data. It's all about the data, Jess. And we went and said, right, there's 35,000 used vehicles on forecourts around Ireland. What's the difference between an electric vehicle and a petrol or diesel vehicle? How long are they staying on that forecourt? 90 days is usually the industry standard. And it's about 6% are left EVs after 90 days. 16% of petrol or diesels are left after 90 days. So what that tells us here at Nevo is used EVs are selling faster. They're not hanging around. People are buying them. People are seeing the value. And so lots of positivity there. And again, talking about the facts rather than hearsay or down the pub or you see it on social media, these are the actual facts.
And again, you know, we always talk and come back to the point around education. If you do have any questions, just email them in to me, techtalk@newstalk.com. Of course, nevo.ie is a great resource as well. And Derek, are you finding that people are coming informed? Like this is something that we've spoken about before, but like a car is a big purchase. Doesn't matter what kind of car it is, what brand, anything like that. It's a big purchase usually. So are you finding that people are, you know, going in with the right questions in mind, but also with their own bit of research in the back pocket?
100%. It's the second biggest purchase usually somebody makes after a house. After a car, then it's probably a kitchen. And so, yes, it is a big consideration. And so what people are doing, and that's why we've got such great interaction here on the show, people are emailing into you or they're listening back on the podcasts. They're going on to Nevo. They're going on to our YouTube channel to see the reviews. And so they're walking into a dealership because they don't want to feel like they're stupid. They want to be educated on the whole process. So when they walk into the dealership and they're talking to that salesperson, they're saying, I'm thinking about this car and I know it does this. And what's actually happening is that they're finding if the salesperson isn't as educated as them, they're walking away going, do you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go somewhere that actually knows what they're talking about. So the education on the other side needs to be up to par to the actual purchaser. And what we're finding is we have dealer groups and we have garages and we have brands coming to us here at Nevo to say, we want to work with you to get the most and best information out to our salespeople because the consumer and the customer is coming in with the information. We want to make sure that we're giving the right information, we're not being caught off guard, and that it's all actual facts rather than what we were saying already, people trying to bluff. And you're hearing stories about people who don't sell electric vehicles on a regular basis or don't even have a workshop, and they're saying this, that, or the other. But what we're finding is the consumer is making the educated journey. And so whether it's 9 out of 10 staying in electric vehicles, whether it's people buying used EVs, the price of vehicles are coming down as well. The new price for an electric vehicle, the top 10, the average price has gone from just over 50,000 euros down to just under 43,000 euros. So the average, the ease to get in, and I'm not saying that 43,000 euros isn't cheap, don't get me wrong, but the more affordability, because a petrol or a diesel engine, that's around 38,000 euros. So the gap of that price parity is getting closer and closer. So now when Jess does get her driving license, she'll go, okay, I want to get a car that's going to get me from here to here. The price is roughly going to be the same, but you're going to go petrol, hybrid, plug-in, petrol, diesel. It's going to be down to, okay, show me running costs. How easy is it to charge? And it's the price isn't a factor anymore. There was an issue there where range awareness and range anxiety was mentioned every single day, every single week. We're seeing more and more charging stations opening up around the country. It's not that they're getting less. We're getting more and more of them. So all of these reasons not to go electric are just being ticked off. And it's just becoming easier and easier.
Yeah. And look, again, we're going to continue to do the work that we're doing of informing and educating and answering questions. Again, the email address as ever, if you want to get in touch, is techtalk@newstalk.com. Derek, before I let you go, I remember a few months ago when it was absolutely Baltic, you gave us some top tips for driving your EV in the cold and just trying to make sure you're getting the most out of the battery as possible. Hopefully, fingers crossed, the weather is decent this weekend, all weekend long. Does the hotter weather impact performance? And is there anything that EV drivers should do or could do to try and help?
Grace or Jess, great question. I mixed Grace and Jess together there. So great question. I don't think we're going to get too hot here in Ireland, but in more warm, more climates like the Mediterranean or in different continents, if a battery gets too hot, it doesn't like that either. So, but Ireland, we're never going to get that. But you can precondition your vehicle to be air conditioned before you leave to cool the car down if you're finding it a bit too hot. So when it's still plugged into your house or the hotel that you're staying in down in Mayo or Kerry or wherever you're traveling to this weekend, you can go onto your app and actually precondition it to actually keep the car at a certain temperature if you like it at 19 degrees and it's hopefully 23 degrees outside. So preconditioning before you leave wherever you're leaving from is always a great, and just understanding that air conditioning, heating or cooling will affect the range, and but not too bad here in Ireland with the weather that we get. We're pretty in the, we're in that Goldilocks zone with regards to getting too hot. But great question. Just precondition before you go. Plan your route for that long weekend. Try and go to a charging hub that has multiple chargers so that you're going through it faster, because there'll be more availability rather than relying on one or two. And as I said, enjoy it. Get an ice cream for yourself. Sit back and relax.
Fantastic. Look, Derek, as always, thank you so much. Again, keep your questions coming in, techtalk@newstalk.com, and Derek will be back with more reviews, news and all the rest in the coming weeks. But for now, Derek, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jess.